Hey, Mike, what's the most interesting thing that happened to you this week?
Well, actually, this week and last week, you know, you forgot to ask me that.
Okay, moving right along now.
Welcome to Pointing Out Barris's Fault Show. So, well, let me update you. Since you failed to ask me last week, I'll update you on last week's and this week's answer both. The one last week would have been my daughter visited, and we had a great time. We went to the symphony and a very pop Christmas by the world-renowned Houston Symphony. The girl, I can't remember her name, I think her last name is Brown, but she played Mary Poppins in the Broadway musical. She was there, and the Houston choir was there in the backdrop. So you don't usually get this with the symphony. With the symphony, you get the symphony. You don't get a choir, a symphony, and a singer all at the same time. So this was fantastic. We were just thrilled. She and I love this little arena of entertainment. So we had a real good time. One of our trips, I always try to find something unusual. My daughter is a bit like me. So I had found that Houston has the world's largest funeral museum. So
words fail me.
You're not going to...
So I told her that I was not telling her where I was taking her. She was cool with it, you know.
You took your daughter to a funeral museum?
No, I took my daughter to the world's largest funeral museum.
Only in the rest of the world, we have a saying. You Americans don't know this saying, but we know it really well. Only in America.
Only in America. And this is only in Texas and only in Houston. So as we were driving there, I told her, I said, well, how about I give you some clues? And I told her, I said, well, one is made out of the same glass that Coca-Cola bottles are made out of. And she didn't have any guess. And then I told her, I said, one was built for three people. And she didn't have any response. And then she said, well, Dad says, can I ask a question? And I said, sure. I said, you know, it's our game. We're making it up as we go. So sure you can. And she said, is it interactive?
Oh, yay. Just coming and going.
So I got so tickled that I couldn't hardly answer her. And so finally, I'm driving down the road. I might as well have been a drunk driver, actually, at the moment. And I said, well, it will be one day. And of course, she was totally baffled by that. And she said, well, why are you laughing? And I said, well, you'll just have to wait. And then we pulled up and she saw Funeral Museum, and then she got it. And we sat there and we had to laugh before we walked in. So, no, it was a very good time with my daughter. She got her at the gift shop. Yes, they have a gift shop at the Funeral Museum. And she got a little casket on a chain for a keychain. And I bought her a nice shirt with some skulls and roses on it. It was really kind of cute. It reminded me of Guns N' Roses t-shirts, you know.
Oh, man. Now, when back in my heady Christian days, I would have done that and loved it. I would have run it off my keychain, this little coffin. And when people said, what is that? I would say, do you know what's going to happen to you when you die?
Yes, it would have been a witnessing tool. Like I said, my visit with my daughter was just wonderful. And then 3 days later, Josh Tenney arrives. And we had a marvelous time, too. Josh was a bit under the weather.
I've heard that about Josh.
Yes, he was definitely not feeling to his very best. So I didn't.
Oh, you mean he wasn't well?
Yes, he was.
Oh, sorry, I was somewhere else.
I don't know what that meant. That's another Australian thing, I guess. I suppose. Yeah, under the weather here is that's what that means here. So.
Oh, okay. I'm learning all the time, you know.
So I I know he was greatly disappointed, but I didn't take him to the funeral museum.
He was probably feeling like it.
We did a couple of very nice things. And actually, it was Josh. When my daughter was here, they didn't have anything going on at the symphony. I got my story all mixed up. But it did. We did. Josh and I went because I had tickets already. So these were extremely discounted tickets, and I wind up getting these marvelous seats for a really severely discounted price. So,
were you trying to line him up with your daughter, mate?
Well, if they'd have been here at the same time, that might have. But that's right.
Yeah, I forgot to ask you what the interesting thing was last week. Yeah, okay. Rub it in, Mike.
Yes, you forgot last week to ask me. So, but no, this was a really wonderful visit, and we basically wound up pretty well relaxing most of his time here, except for a visit to the park downtown and some really wonderful eats, going out to some of my favorite little places here.
I heard that Josh Tenney is one of those people who just thinks too much. Is that right?
Well, he thinks a lot. I'm not sure about if it's too much or not, but he does think a lot. And actually, if you would know that my living room arrangement, we actually wound up talking in our computers back to back, his laptop and my laptop basically back to back. And here we are just constantly going over something and discussing and reading and looking up and learning, and it was all research. So it was a lot of fun. I got to do what I normally do, but I got to do it with someone, which just kind of puts it on steroids, you know.
Webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
So, Michael, this is our very Kenyan Christmas power cast, and yes, it also happens to be the third week of our Christmas season to be pleasing pledge drive.
Yes, it is. We have a guest today, and this power cast is going to be laced with a Kenyan Christmas and Kenyan greetings and joy to the world. It is indeed one of my favorite, if not my very favorite, Christmas carol. And there's sometimes, and there's such gospel truth that pops out of Christmas carols, especially these old carols that have been around for over 100 years. It really is amazing. It really is amazing. And I think you're going to really, really enjoy this power cast.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive.
Hi guys, my name is Moses Gata from Nakuru, Kenya. On behalf of the students of the School of the Scriptures, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year 2013. We love you guys. Jambo wapendwa, mimi ni Moses Gata kutoka Nakuru, Kenya. Kwa niamba ya wanafunzi wote wa the School of the Scriptures, ningependa kuwatakia Christmas jema na mwaka mpya wenye mafanikio. Asanteni sana.
Now, Michael, you've said that this is one of your all-time favorite carols. What is it about it that turns you on so well?
Every time this one goes past this part, that, and I'm sure I'm not going to be quoting it exactly right, but how that his promise has come to the earth far as the curse is found. This replacement of promise with curse is just so dynamic. My goodness, I wish we in the faith movement and the casting out of devils movement and the resisting the devil movement and the pulling down strongholds movement would have just for a moment gone back and looked contextually at what a curse is. Would have saved us a whole lot of trouble for sure.
Well, let me quote the words of that song that I think you're referring to. Let me see. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Oh, it's verse 3. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found.
Yes. He comes to make his blessing flow far as the curse is found.
Yes.
Oh, that's tremendous. The blessing, which is in Christ and it's in the seed, but it has completely removed the curse. You know, it's interesting, as I started years ago beginning to look at this issue of the curse, and we were always dealing with you're under a curse from the devil, you're under a curse from witchcraft, you're under a generational curse. It's all of these things. But as I started going back and looking at the issue of the curse, the one who brought the curse was God, and the curse came from God.
Well, hang on. First, a few weeks back, you've told us that sin originated in heaven, and now you're telling us that the curse comes not from the devil, but from God.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. It's just, this is where that all of this doctrine began to be upended for me, because the curse came only from God. There is no such thing as a curse from the devil. When you're talking about the scriptures, this is something that comes from God. So what is the curse? It's wonderful to find out that Galatians says that we are no longer under the curse of the law. So what is the curse of the law? That's something that a lot of us don't stop to think about. If I'm freed from the curse of the law, what is the curse of the law? Does that mean if I'm free from the curse of the law, I'll never get sick again, my crops will always grow, my cows won't ever die, I will always have all the money I need? And that is what it is taught as in the Word of Faith movement, for sure. But when you are freed from the curse, there is nothing that says that you are freed from any of the difficulties of life. It's thus that you are freed from ever thinking that any of these issues are coming from God now. So the curse of the law is anger, wrath, judgment, chastisement. These are the things that are the curse of the law. So no longer on this earth does anyone ever have to stop and consider that their current situation may be a judgment from God. When you no longer have to consider something happening in your life being a chastisement from God or a judgment from God, then you know you are freed from the curse of the law. Now, we were all freed from the curse of the law 2,000 years ago. However, the moment that the brain gets freed from it is a point of salvation for us. That's when our brain begins to catch up with the information that was sealed by the power of the work of the cross. And we have this incredible moment of this freedom from the curse. And that reality for the brain is one of the healthiest things that the brain will ever go through. It truly is this removal of the curse. So if you remove the curse, what else gets removed? If the curse gets removed, then not only the curse of the law gets removed, but also the blessing of the law gets removed. Uh-oh. But it is true. The blessing of the law really is more of a curse than the curse is.
Wait. I've been wanting to do that for a long time. The devil's the only one who curses people. Here's how I understood it from a very worthy seminary, and that is that God blesses you, the devil curses you, and the way that the devil gets to curse you is you give him some free space or a legal loophole or a foot up in your behavior, generally speaking, or your works or your lack of them, and then he can curse you. Now, that's what I understood the curse to be.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? And it's not in the Bible. So... even out of context. It's not even an out of context.
But it thing. Made us a lot of money.
It did make a lot of people a lot of money. Many times, Barris, the things that I address are just simply bringing things into context. I can't even take you to a place to correct our dumbness by reading it in context.
Are you telling me today that there is nowhere in the Bible that says that the devil curses us?
I can find no place that talks about this curse coming from the devil or being under a curse from the devil.
Well, can you tell me where in the Bible it says that God curses us?
Well, all you have to do is read the entire Old Testament, actually. So, see, you're going to make me open my Bible program now.
Yeah, I hope so. Don't be talking to me off the top of your head. I want scripture and verse here, mister.
So I can prove it to Barris. As we were saying, we're freed from the blessing of the law. Now, I remember years ago as I was sharing on this, people did not want to let go of the blessing of the law. No, we want our blessings that come from the law. No, you don't. Number one, the promises that come through the keeping of the law can only come to us through keeping all of the law. And if you read the context of these scriptures, not only do you have to keep all of the law, all of the days of your life without going through a oops or okay, I confess that. That's not what it says. It says if you keep all of God's laws all of the days of your life, and your children, all of your children, keep all of God's laws all of the days of their life, and their children keep all of God's laws all of the days of their lives, you will get the promise or the blessing that comes from the law. So believe me, I'm hoping that we all can let go of not only the curse that's contained in the law, but we can also let go of the blessing that was in the law. Man, what a horrible thing to wait for a blessing and get nothing but a curse, and to never ever find any blessing, because there's just no measuring up. Unless you can become righteous through the law, you cannot be blessed by the law.
If that's true, that not just you, but your kid, and then your kid's kid, and then you get the goodies, well, knowing what the human race is like, you'd be waiting an awful long time just waiting for the perfect guy, wouldn't you?
Yes, you would be waiting a very long time, because most people will have exhausted their life by then. The possibility of even happening is just not there. The hope of that possibility is just cruel. It is definitely a cruel thing to be telling a child something that is a possible reward when you know that it's not at all. It's one of the greatest disappointments of life. Not that you failed, but to know that it was never a possibility in the first place. So it's all a curse. It doesn't make any difference whether it promises one thing or the other.
So there are curses associated with the law.
Mm-hmm.
And there are blessings associated with the law. And the fact that you can never, ever capitalize on the blessings makes them as good as any curse.
I think it is as you put it, just as good as any curse, because if it is no way that it's ever going to happen, that's as cruel as punishment as far as I'm concerned. So the blessing does turn out to be a punishment. If you ever were able to get to that point, even to get close to that, you'd begin to realize this isn't going to happen no matter what I do.
Mm. Oh, that'd be a horrible way to live.
Mm-hmm. The whole issue of trying to live under the law is that the only way that it becomes tolerable is to lead a life of denial. It just has to be one of denial. You have to...
Hoping against hope.
Yes. It just has to be something that it is the proverbial carrot that is unattainable. It just isn't going to happen. So joy to the world really is joy to the world. I think that Christianity has completely and utterly failed to communicate this joy to the world. Thank God there's a Christmas carol that communicates this joy to the world. But in all honesty, I don't know of one branch of Christianity that teaches the removal of the curse and also the removal of the hope of being blessed by keeping the law. That is not where our blessing is. Our blessing is in Christ. The blessing did not come through the law, but through the seed of Abraham, and that seed not being of many, but of one, and that of Christ. So we are not people who are blessed by our obedience to the law. It just freaks me out now when I hear virtually every Christian denomination that makes it on TV or their mouth gets heard somehow by mass media. And without exception, they're on telling people what God will do for you if you do this or if you do that. And it's like, did you not know that there was something called the cross? Did that little matter in history just kind of get by your theology? How in the world are you teaching people how they will be blessed by keeping a law when the law's been done away with? If the law's been done away with, how can you be blessed through it or cursed through it? You can't gain either one. We seem to be pretty ready to give up the curse, and we tell people you're not under the curse of the law, but God's angry with you. That is the curse of the law. We tell people that you're, you know, oh man, they'll get up and talk how that, and they'll read Galatians that we've been freed from the curse of the law, and then turn around and tell you that, well, what's happening to you is a chastisement of the Lord. The chastisement of the Lord is a curse, the curse of the law. This absolute vacuum of understanding about what the curse is and what the curse was and the freedom from the curse and the freedom from the law is never, ever talked about in practical terms. We're talking about this in practical terms today. We're talking about this actually in scriptural terms. There is no curse from the devil. The curse that the scriptures speak of is this curse that comes from God. Joy to the world. Joy to the world. Something drastic happened. Something incredibly drastic has taken place, and the curse has been removed. There is no space where the blessing of redemption through Christ, the promise that came through Christ, it reaches, according to the song, which I'm quoting the song now, not the scripture, but it, according to the song that we so gloriously talk about, it goes as far as the curse is found. The curse went as far as the law was given. The law has been removed. This is puzzling to me, Barris, and it's puzzling to me that I ever taught it. It's puzzling to me that I never looked for myself during all of those years of casting out devils and praying against the curse that people were under so they could be blessed by God, get you out from under the curse of the devil so you can be blessed by God. And that's the wrong comparison. The comparison isn't the curse of the devil compared to the blessing of the Lord. It is the curse that comes from God as compared to the blessing that comes from God. When we get this proper comparison there, we see that we're not trying to get rid of one and gain the other. Our desperate need was to be freed from both.
Now, I'm just reading these words again. It says, he comes to make his blessings, again, I'm quoting from the Christmas carol, Joy to the World. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Now, if the law is gone, then the curse is gone. But also, you're saying the blessing is gone as well. What are these blessings that the carol is talking about? He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. What blessings are there now?
Well, the blessings and the seed all comes down to one thing, being Christ. This really isn't about promises multiple now. It's about promise singular and the promise also being Christ. And this singular promise through the singular seed was redemption from all of these things that we find pertaining to the curse. The freedom from both sides of the law, the ever living proverbial carrot that is in front of us to try to gain favor with God, and the curse that comes from God for not keeping the law, that curse being anger and wrath and judgment from God. All of that is gone, and it is replaced with one thing, and that's Christ. There's not multiple seeds. There's not multiple promises. There is a promise, the promise. It is the promise that has come through the seed, and that is the promise of redemption. That as far as any of this ever went, the promise of redemption has replaced all of it.
So I'm just go gently on me here because I'm slow. The law's been taken away. The blessing has gone with it, and the curse has gone with it.
Yes.
Zip. Everything's gone. And if I just heard you right, the blessing now is Christ?
Yes.
What kind of blessing is that? I mean, I don't get any extra money. I don't get a better job. I might end up marrying a real old battle axe. Where's the blessings for me? I don't get the blessings. Where's the blessings?
Hallelujah. 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 The peace in knowing that the blessing is Christ himself, that there is no promise that you are going to be wealthy, no promise you're going to be healthy. Those are things that came through the law. If you go back and look at them, everyone has an equal chance at this now.
No blessings, no curse, no promises, no letdowns, just Christ and me, or should I say me in Christ, I'm free now to...
You're free to live.
What's that look like? Live without...
To live without promise of something's going to turn out good or a curse that something's going to turn out bad based on your actions. That's the best life you could ever hope to have in this world.
And living without this hoping against hope thing that it was never going to happen, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. The gospel, for me, has washed away all of that. When that is removed, it is an amazing place to be when you're out from under thinking in any degree that if you do something right, God's going to cause something good to happen to you. Now, I'm not arguing against if you do something good might happen to you. But that's a possibility, not a promise. This is where the frustration of life comes from. We're down to the very nitty-gritty of where does life begin to get so unbearable. It is unbearable not because sometimes we try, we invest, we do our best and things still turn out wrong. It's when the concept is in the brain that if I do this right, God is going to be on my side.
Do you think slowly and quietly does some kind of death work in us? Do you think that when we've got that subconscious thought always hanging about that it's doing something that we probably don't even know?
Well, I can tell you what it did to me. It led me to a mental institution because I believed what I was told, Barris. And I believed that if I did good, good would come to me from God. If I did bad, bad would come to me from God. This entire thing, this Christmas season, this very Kenyan Christmas that we're sharing with the world today, this is why I'm so excited about this gospel getting released in Kenya, because Kenya has been invaded with Christianity and of the very same brand that I was trained under and the same brand that you were trained under. I didn't know it was there. I thought that somehow that this would have expired somewhere along the way. But what it does, it just keeps getting new flesh into it. It runs it through the mill until in exasperation, it spits them out on the other side, and it just keeps bringing in new and throwing out the old.
It must be true, 'cause I heard it on the radio. It must be true, it must be true.
Can't get enough of the gospel revolution? That's why we came up with the Gospel Revolution Radio 24/7. Anytime, night or day, you can now zero in on the heart of the gospel at gospelrevolution.radiostream123.com. That's gospelrevolution.radiostream123.com. Go on, turn your radio on.
This is Agnetha Shiks from Nakuru, Kenya, and I have a spoken word poem. And God said, let us make man, not in our own image and likeness, but a man who is one with us. Let him be righteous, holy, and complete, for we are one with him. We will no longer be called a trinity by the religious community, for we are all one. All men are included in this one man, and no man is excluded, regardless of faith, belief, greed, or religion. All of this was consummated on the day of the Lord. The cross was the day of the Lord. On this day was the fulfillment of the law of the Psalms and the prophet, and the end of the world was at hand. The 10th week of Daniel was also fulfilled. The new world of the new creation was birthed on this day of the Lord. Well, what are you waiting for? Waiting for the end of the world, for the judgment of the world, for the second coming of the Messiah, for the fulfillment of the prophecy, for the destruction of the wicked, for the number 666 and the beast to be revealed? Well, I have shocking news for you. It all happened at the cross, on the day of the Lord. There's no more spiritual warfare, no more prayers and fasting and intercessions, no more tithing, sowing and reaping, no more seeking the Lord, no more knocking on doors to be opened, no more obedience needed, no more curses for disobedient, no more calling for the name of the Lord, no more hell to punish sinners and sins, and finally, there's no more confession of sin. And you know why? Do you know why? It is because there's no more law. Once again, my name is Agnetha Sheets from Nakuru, Kenya. Be blessed.
Gospel Revolution.
I just want to say a Merry Christmas to a few people. I want to say a Merry Christmas to Hazel. The reason for that is because Hazel has become an integral part of my life, and Hazel has been a totally integral part of Mike's life for all of these years. I want to say a Merry Christmas to you, Michael. Merry Christmas to Jeff Robertson. Merry Christmas to Moses. Merry Christmas to all of you gospel revolutionaries who help us get this gospel out and help us do what we most love and most enjoy. Merry Christmas. The curse is gone. The curse is gone, and mortality has put on immortality.
Yes, indeed. And from here in Houston also, Merry Christmas to everyone, all that Barris mentioned, and including Barris. Merry Christmas, Barris. It's been a wonderful ride since we began this, and it continues to be. And it has been extremely successful. And your efforts are really, really beautiful, not just from the heart, but also the level of professionalism that you put into this is so appreciated. And Merry Christmas to you and your family and to all in the Gospel Revolution. Goodness gracious, you guys enjoy this. I hope everybody there loves Christmas as much as I do. Somebody might say, well, you love it so much. What are you going to be doing for Christmas? I will be right here at my little house all by myself all day long. And with no plans, and I will be just as happy as I can be, and I'll be playing Christmas music. I love Christmas so much. I don't even need people to enjoy it. So.
He's talking through his hat. You know that, folks. You know this guy can't. I mean, it's Christmas Day, and he's perfectly at home just playing Christmas carols. Yeah, right. We believe that, Mike. So I'll tell you what, folks. Here's what to do. Come Christmas morning, about 7 o'clock, maybe make it 6 o'clock, ring Mike Williams. On about 8 o'clock in the morning, ring Mike Williams. When you're getting on towards having your lunch on Christmas Day, don't forget to ring Mike Williams. And if you don't ring Mike Williams in the afternoon, you're just not part of this family. And if everyone has not rung him by nighttime, we will seriously consider rescinding your membership. So, folks, He said he doesn't need people. Let's just show him what he's missing out on. Everybody ring Mike Williams Christmas Day. I can't wait till next week. I might lose my job and all. Here at the Gospel Revolution, we're used to getting all kinds of emails, all kinds of letters and postcards and all kinds of messages. We get messages that will melt your heart. We get messages that will break your heart. We get messages from friends and messages from people who don't seem quite that friendly. But when we receive this message, we just wanted to share it with you, our Gospel Revolution family.
Richard and I were married for 31 years. Richard was a friend, a lover, and much more. Quite simply, he was my dear husband. When we met, Richard was Catholic, and I became a believer in Christ in 1990. Richard noticed a difference and was asking why we believed in the same Jesus, yet I seemed to have a change in my life. Eventually, I shared the gospel that I had learned with Richard. He accepted Jesus as I had, and from that time, we committed to living a godly life together. Richard always woke up at 4 a.m. to read his Bible and was so full of God's grace. Together, we worked on many mission trips, sharing our experiences as we went. Everyone admired our relationship and how well we worked together. But things began to change for us after Richard met Mike Williams and heard the Gospel Revolution message. I could not understand and would not accept what Richard was learning. We began to debate the Bible, the return of Jesus, and whether it is our faith or Christ's faith that redeems us. Those were some of the issues we now disagreed on. When Richard told me, "We're not required to pray," I told him he was out of his mind. We began to fight about these things. And now Richard has passed away, but I know he is with the Lord. After the funeral, I was in great despair. Then I discovered Mike Williams' CDs and started listening. I listened to Hebrews Revealed and Debunked, the Book of Romans Revealed, and the message Mystery of Unbelief on the Gospel according to John. After hearing these teachings, I felt so sad about misunderstanding what Richard was trying to share so desperately with me. It felt like I was losing my mind. But what happened to my husband was now happening to me. I now accept and believe the gospel of peace and have experienced a total revolution. And it has all happened so fast. Every day, all day, it is like great lightning and thunder in my soul. The Holy Spirit is the great teacher and my teacher. Thank you to all of you who loved my husband, Richard John Mull. As Richard was the king of comedy of the Gospel Revolution, I'm now the queen of the Book of Hebrews. We are indeed one. And Merry Christmas to my family at the Gospel Revolution. Yours truly, Eva Mull. And P.S., I'm also Miss Fractal. Riley, those kids sound really lovely, but I got no idea what they were saying. Do you have any idea?
When you're feeling down, or you got the case of the blues, why don't you listen to the Gospel Revolution?
Oh, well, that's really nice. I wonder where I could do that.
Gospel Revolution.
Week 3 of our Season to Be Pleased and Pledge Drive. Mike, talk to us. How's it going?
It's gone marvelous. We have the greatest people on earth in the Gospel Revolution. We're very close to our goals. We have about, I think at this point, about $3,000 is all we have left to reach our goal. This is our last week. We are only $3,000 away from reaching the goal, and we thank you guys so very much. I want to encourage you that in this very Kenyan Christmas, we do want to raise the last of these funds because our outreach in Kenya needs funds. We have done an awful lot with this year's finances that have come in, and we want to do more. So number one, thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. And let's push this on through and get this last $3,000 or so in. And we will wrap up this year. Remember, if we reach this goal and this last $3,000 comes in, we will have had the best year we have had in 15 years in Mike Williams Ministries as far as finances. So this is a big Christmas present to us all to reach this goal. Thank you guys so very much. We do have our outreach in Kenya that Moses heads up there and is doing such a fine job with, and we do want to be more of a help than what we've been able to be in the last few months.
When does a pledge drive actually end, Michael? How much time have people got to get in their donations?
You have until our next webcast, and you would have until the 27th to be able to get this in, and then we would count that then for the results of the pledge drive. So, yeah, right through Christmas. Don't forget, you know, you got to remember, you've got to remember baby Jesus and give money on Christmas. So make
Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. So you all just go ahead and have a good time. Remember, it's a season to be pleasing, particularly pleasing Mike Williams and Jeff Robertson.
Uh-oh, I just realized we didn't do a show intro. Mike, we did.
Oh, stuff it. I'm just going to stick it in here and hope for the best. I don't think anyone will notice. Does anyone listen to this podcast? Welcome to the Gospel Revolution podcast for the 20th of December, 1912. Hey, Mike, it's the end of the world according to the Mayan calendar. I can't even get the date straight. Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for the 20th of December 2012, coming to you from the North American studios of the Gospel Revolution in Nashville, Tennessee. And here from the Gospel Revolution headquarters in Houston, Texas, is the founding president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams.
Hey, Barris. How are you today, my friend?
Oh, mate, today is gorgeous. It's 65, well, it's about to be 65 degrees outside. It's supposed to be the beginnings of the middle of winter, and the sun's shining, and God's in his heaven, and everything is great.
No, he's not. He's in you.
Hey, listen, can you turn your screen around so I can see you in you? He is in you and in me.
Yes. And as hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I want to hear you sing with yourself, Mike.
Gospel Revolution.
If we allow the gospel to renew the mind, for us to have the mind of Christ, what is the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is equality. That's what Philippians has to say about the whole matter. If there be any mercies, if there be any compassion, if there's going to be any of this good stuff that we talk about God, he says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus the Lord. Fast forwarding a bit, who did not count it robbery to be equal with God. One translation says that he did not count equality with God something that had to be grasped for. I love that translation of that. It's not robbery. It's not something I have to grasp for to try to attain equality with God. So in this mindset, as the gospel renews the mind, then we are able to have this balance that comes to our way of thinking about life. If the gospel comes into my life, what's going to happen? You are going to begin to, number one, we hope that one of the things that begins to fall off is that you think that God is angry. There is no gospel there unless there is a gospel of peace, unless there is an understanding of cessation of hostilities, unless there's an understanding that chastisement has been removed, anger, wrath, and judgment is all gone. And that is the beginning of the removal of that. The only way that you'll ever fully conceive that is the mind of Christ, who does not count equality with God something that has to be grasped for now. We don't have to try to be equal with God. There's no struggle to become equal with God. Life is, in many cases, described like a voyage. We really are voyagers in this thing. We're at sea. We're either in calm waters or rough waters or whatever. But the thing that causes a ship to stay afloat is its ballast. And that is the amount of water that is actually taken into the ship to balance the ship and keep it upright and to face the storms. For me, the equality understanding of the brain is the ballast for life. It is the thing that keeps us able to face life, to face the storms, to enjoy the calm. It is the ballast. It's equality. Because isn't that what a ballast is? It's trying to equalize the forces from the inside to the outside. And once this equality comes, then there is the ability to get through the ocean, you know. This
ballast. Ballast. That is a nice picture.
Yes. And it could be taken into many different places to where that once equality is established, it begins to cause other things to work right. You know, when Josh was here, one of the things that we were studying out was this equality. And it was really a lot of fun because once Josh gets a thought in his head, he's got to think it all the way through. So we started talking about this whole Philippians thing and this whole understanding that if the brain ever gets the issue of equality settled, and it can only do it through the power of the gospel, that we are equal with God and we are equal with each other. The heart possesses wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And in that equality is when the mind can begin to access this wisdom that is in the heart. It's like, okay, so if everybody has this wisdom, this righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, why doesn't everybody know about it? You cannot know about it until the mind is renewed with the power of the gospel, until equality comes to the brain. That equality, that equalization of the ballast, finding that that equality in any realm, anything that you can think of it in, that is the point where that this updraft, if you will, begins from the heart. And suddenly the mind begins to think in terms that it's never thought before. You begin to see things differently than you've ever seen them before. And it really is, you begin to access the wisdom of God himself that is in the heart. It really happens through the renewing of the mind. And as this equality comes to the brain, as we begin to step out of this blessing and cursing realm, and we begin to realize that life is a great big choice. Now, everything is a choice. This is all choice. This is all choice. It's a realm of possibility. It is a realm of chance. Man, what else could you want than a chance? Just give me a chance. Isn't that the cry of every human being? I just want a chance. And in Christ, that's what we've been given in this life as a chance. these two realms, this ballast, this pulling away from this horrible, tragic thinking that if I do something good, God's going to do something good for me. If I do something bad, God's going to do something bad to me. And I relinquish the power of choice in this life. And then I go to church and find out that all of my choices about what's going to happen to me spiritually and eternally are all my choice. Let me tell you one thing that is not a choice: heaven and hell. There's no chance in hell you're going to hell. There's no chance in heaven you're going to go anyplace else but heaven. It's an insanity that needs to be cured in this planet. You no longer have to live your life in fear of whether you are pleasing God. Jesus Christ, the promised blessing, has already done it for you. You no longer have to live your life in fear of whether you are living in the perfect, permissive, or any other kind of God's will. Jesus Christ, the promised blessing, has already done it for you. You no longer need to worry about eternal punishment. God poured out all the punishment the human race ever expected on the promised blessing, Jesus Christ. All your choices for eternity have already been decided. Now you have a choice for what you want to do with this life. Yes, your life. This is the whole picture of what we're celebrating in this Christmas scene. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Far as the curse is found, it's absolutely almost unspeakable. But it is the power of the gospel that gives us our inklings and inclinations to be able to understand this completed work of the cross.
When I read the old law that we're saying the curse came from, there was another curse, wasn't there? What about the curse in the Garden of Eden, that women would always have pain in childbirth and the snake would always grovel on its belly? Is that tied up in the same curse?
Well, of course, the curse that came in the garden was death. That was the true curse. And then, of course, the law was established, and then the only thing that could satisfy the law then was death in its entirety.
So under the law, the curses might have been many and various, each curse being different for whatever I did wrong or didn't do right. Are you saying at the bottom line, it all amounted to the same thing, death?
It all amounted to the same thing. The same is that all the promises have become a promise. The seeds have become a seed. The curses have become a curse because the ultimate of the law was death. There is no satisfaction of the law through obedience. The only thing that could satisfy the law was death.
Mortality has put on...
Yes, this mortal has put on immortality, and this corruptible has put on incorruption. We have now taken on immortality. We are not going to die. This resurrection is not something that's going to take place in the future. It is something that took place 2,000 years ago and been fulfilled, because that is exactly what happened in Christ. This reality that the mortal has put on immortality. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man, I tell you, that's like a brain massage to me. This mortal has put on immortality. I cannot be corrupted again. It is not possible. Regardless of my actions or my deeds, can I ever fall from God's graces? Can I ever be in a position to where that I'm back under the law and back under the curse, except in my brain? And if we are in a new heaven and a new earth right now, just think how confusing it is to have a heart that is established in the kingdom of God and a brain that is established under the law. That is one confused mess.
So let me get this right. The death that was the actual curse in the Garden of Eden was swallowed up in Jesus.
All swallowed up in Christ.
The law, the prophets, the Son, all swallowed up in Jesus.
Yes. Good now, preach.
The law and its curses swallowed up in Jesus.
Yes.
The blessings of the law.
all swallowed up in Christ.
And now mortality
has put on immortality, and corruption has put on incorruption. That is the gospel. The gospel is this disconnect now and the removal of man's actions and deeds being able to cause God to be for him or against him, either one. When we connect our actions and deeds with relationship to God, the ability to understand the gospel goes completely. So in this great freedom, then, we have the power of choice. And choice is so powerful. It's powerful in that which is temporal. It is deadly in that which is eternal. To begin to think that there's something about my life that was predestined, there's something about my life that it's this way because I had no choice in the matter. Now, I thoroughly understand that we come into this world with a lot of gifts, and we come into this world with a lot of other things in our lives. I come with a predisposition for being able to explain things. Some people think that I have that. Some people think I'm just totally of the devil, and that's the why. And that this is the talent that I have. It is a devil-given talent, which is fine with me. I don't care one way or the other what someone might think about it. It is up to the individual to decide that. But the thing of it is that even with that gift, I could be a construction worker and not really following this gift at all. But we all have talents and abilities, but it's still going to be a choice. You know, the person who has the ability to sing, if they don't choose to do certain things, they most likely are not going to wind up where their gift is really very well used. You know, and you look at Susan Boyle and you think, well, she didn't do anything. Yes, she did. She chose to go on a talent program in England, even though she was already in her late 40s, I believe. She goes on and suddenly she gets up and starts singing and the entire planet is captivated by her gift. But she went all that time without anyone knowing that gift. We're in a realm of choice, Barris, and that is freedom. That is power.
Now, when you say choice, that really rings a bell with me, because in my very veriest Christian days, my choices were all about wondering, did what I just do, was that in the will of God? What about tomorrow? Will that be in the will of God? It was as if my choices were choked.
Yes, when you begin to place your choices into the realm of in God's will or out of God's will, it is more than choked. It's paralyzed. If you truly believe that, the inability to carry out a God-given choice, when you apply the will of God to that, the life has gone out of your choice. Because even if you're able to make a choice, then comes the reevaluation that takes place on a moment-by-moment basis as to whether or not you chose the right thing. Okay, so if this is blessing and cursing, and then you've got to find the will of God, but you've got to make the choice, then once you make the choice, then because, you know, what if you chose to go to school, and then suddenly you find out that your scholarship didn't come through, or your rooming at school didn't work out, or your classes you intended to take are not available. Then you see all of this massive confusion comes in as to, well, did I make the choice that God wanted me to make? Now, it's okay to reevaluate your choices, but when you're reevaluating your choices based on the will of God, it is a paralysis of unparalleled confusion.
Spend the day with my radio on. I love to sing along with the songs they play. It makes the whole day seem like fun. I spend the day with my radio on.
Why don't you spend your day with the radio on? Every day it's different, every hour it changes. But you could be listening to the Gospel Revolution radio station right now at gospelrevolution.radiostream123.com. That is gospelrevolution.radiostream123.com. Listen up to Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Go on, spend your day with the radio on.
Happy or sad, I spend the day with my radio, day with my radio, day with my radio on.
Now, who's this calling?
Hey, who have I got there?
Hey, you have Jeff Robertson in Lake Panasoffkee, Florida.
Jeff Robertson, the administrative wizard of the Gospel Revolution. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you.
What have you got on your mind, Jeff?
I love this season, and I love singing Joy to the World because we know what the Gospel says about all that. And I do want to wish a bunch of people a Merry Christmas to Moses Gatta and his family in Nakuru Town, Kenya. Also to the students of the School of the Scriptures, I love hearing all of your progress, and especially to you, Agneta Shakes. Thank you so much for your Christmas wishes and sharing your gospel with us. I would like to wish Merry Christmas to all the gospel revolutionaries around the world and to our friends in Holland and Germany. I'd like to wish you a very special Frohe Weihnachten und ein glückliches neues Jahr. So, to everybody around the world, may you have a very good next year and enjoy the holiday now.
Well, that was Jeff Robertson, the administrator of the Gospel Revolution, calling from Lake Panasoffkee. Panasoffkee. Dear, oh dear. Jeff, thanks so much for calling in. That was really neat to hear from you. Bye-bye, mate.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Joy to the world, joy to the world, joy to the world.
Hello, this is Agneta Shiks coming to you live from the School of Scripture studio here in Nakuru, Kenya. And I want to say, I wish you Merry Christmas. I wish you Merry Christmas. Yes, it is that time of the year again when we sing choral, bring good tidings to people, touch lives, give away gifts, and so many things. But to me, here in studio, I want to wish several people, very important people, a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year. My first Merry Christmas wish goes to Mike William, Jeff Robertson, Barres Ballet, Richard Mull's wife, Eva, Joshua Tenney, Chris Huntington. I want to say, I wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Not forgetting Glenn Clean, Peps Washburn, Geo Foyle, Gamma Cluster, Susan Johnson, Kate Benham, Barry Laney. I want to say I wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive the King.
Together with Shane, Marcel Ross, the Canadian brothers, all the gospel revolutionaries, not forgetting all the students of the School of Scriptures here in Kenya. I want to say, I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you all.
Darn phone's here somewhere, I know it. Under a pile of... Jeez. Ah, there you go.
Gospel Revolution Studios, Nashville. Barris here. Can I help you?
Hi, this is Josh Tenney. I'm from Brooklyn, Wisconsin.
Oh, g'day there, Josh. I hope I can keep up this pretense that we're actually having a phone call here, mate.
I'm wishing you all a happy holidays and be of good cheer wherever you are, whatever you're doing, why you're doing it, and everything. Just be of good cheer.
So hang on, Josh. This is the same Josh Tenney as is trawling all over Facebook, leaving your fingerprints on every single thread there is. Is that right?
I do like to get involved a little bit.
Okay. Hey, Josh, mate, it's great to hear from you. Now, Josh, we're having a very Kenyan Christmas tonight, so say good day to them too, will you?
Hi, Moses. How are you? How is everyone in Kenya? Happy holidays, and it's always great to hear from all you guys. Man, this is turning out to be a real party. Moses from Kenya, Eva Mall, even Mike Williams. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Josh, don't you be giving too much cheek to our boss now. That was Josh Tenney from where, Josh?
Brooklyn. Brooklyn, yo.
From Brooklyn, New York?
No, Brooklyn, Wisconsin.
You Americans cut me up. You really do. You got three or four different names of places. You spell them all differently, and no one can pronounce them. Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Josh Tenney, and all of yours. And all of our Facebook listeners, Merry Christmas to you. For all those people who connect with us on Facebook, we're just so grateful. We've enjoyed you this year. We've enjoyed your input very much. And Josh, thanks for all the work you do there.
Oh, gosh, my pleasure.
Well, Merry Christmas, Josh, and we'll catch you in a year's time, I suppose, eh?
I suppose.
Okay, bye.
Gospel Revolution.
Okay, I have with me here a list, and on this list are the names of those of you who've been naughty or nice. Now, if your name's not on this list, this is game over, but if your name is on this list, you're going to heaven. So, yeah, really. What I got in my hand here is the email I just got from Young Master Jeff Robertson with the names of all of our donors from this pledge drive to this moment in time. Okay, so we're going to start at the top and work our way through. I guess it's Rhonda Leeske from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now, remember, you get to pick up, or you don't get to pick up $100, but you get to force me to part with $100 of my money into the Gospel Revolution. However many of you, I mispronounce your name. So we're starting with Rhonda Leeske from Albuquerque, New Mexico, Beverly Galuska from Allen Park, Michigan, Betty Cochran from Atoka, Oklahoma, Barbara Image from Beecher, Illinois, Wayne Jensen, Bingham Lake, Minnesota, James Taylor, Calhoun, Louisiana, Tim and Beth Knappenberger from Canton, Ohio, Thomas Tonsky from the same place, Alvin Cooper from Cape Coral, Florida, Gene and Cookie Daviduck from Castor, Alberta, Canada, Mike, you're not going to rush me, you ain't not, yeah, it's Cameliotis, there we are, Mike Cameliotis from Chandler, Arizona, just saved that $100, Randy Johnson from Charlotte, North Carolina, Paul Havard. Oh, three names this guy's got. He can probably. Oh, he's from England. That's it, you see. Paul Harvard Shelton. Actually, let me say it properly. Paul Harvard Shelton from Gloucestershire, England. Dale Van Sickle from Clyde, North Carolina. Stephen Mary Keller Cortez from. Stephen Mary Keller from Cortez, Colorado. Pat and Dave Lockshaw from Crane Hill, Alabama. Murphy Hyde from Crestview, Florida. Pastor Ted Winsett from Decatur, Alabama. And Pastor Pat Winsett from Decatur, Alabama. Anonymous from Edmonton, Alberta. Suzanne Johnson from Fitchburg, Wisconsin. Tom and Linda Wilby from Fredericton, New Brunswick. Brand Dillard from Fredericksburg, Virginia. Eva Mull from Garden Grove, California. Billy Thompson from Huachuca City. Cheers, please. Please, can I hear the cheers? Arizona.
James Forehand from Hickory Creek, Texas, Judy Tonini from Huntsville, Alabama, Deidre Simpson from Kelowna, British Columbia, Todd and Angela Gray from LaPorte City, Iowa, Jerry and Susan Berman from Longwood, Florida, Thomas and Linda Villand from Madison, Wisconsin, Leroy Bale from Marshfield, Wisconsin, Robert Hines from McDonough, Georgia, John Dalida, I got to be able to say enough times not to be able to part with me cash here. John Dalida from Monroeville, New Jersey, Rick Braden from New Berlin, Wisconsin, Grant Miller from North Manchester, Indiana, Robert Vacanti from Otterdale, Minnesota, Bud and Ruth Ramsey from Park River, North Dakota, Brad and Holly Wilson from Santan Valley, Arizona, Dwayne and Ruth Daku from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Walter Wilson from Selma, Alabama, George Najjar from Strongsville, Ohio, Paul Paul Lavoie from Sturgeon County, Alberta. Jerry Ryan from Tampa, Florida. Phyllis Schultz from Vernon, British Columbia. Richard and Pat Salonen from Waukesha, Wisconsin. Steve Stredwick from Whitehall, Montana. And Kerry and Rita Waitman from Whitehall, Montana. All of you move straight forward up the line into heaven. The rest of you, I'm going to have a stern word with you after school. Hey, guys, you are so awesome. Thanks so much for the support you give us in helping us to get this gospel out. And really, that's what it's all about. It's just as simple as that. There's nothing more to it. Nobody here getting rich, but the people who are hearing this gospel are getting richer every day in their souls. And thank you for what you're doing to make it happen. Well, as much as we'd love to, we can't stand around jibber-jabbering all day like this while we have flowers to plant, manure to spread, and crops to harvest. And so it is that we must leave you folks, but not before I say a huge thank you to all of those gospel revolutionaries out there who make it possible to bring you this PowerCast each and every week. If you'd like to join them in increasing our coverage of the gospel of grace and peace, call our office at area code 352-569-4889 and speak to Jeffrey. If you would like to leave a message for the show, simply telephone us at 23456-40971 and leave a message. If you're calling from outside of the United States of America, then the number is 123456-40971. And so it is. Good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, here in Nashville, Tennessee. And
good night from Michael Williams, right here in beautiful Houston, Texas.
Remember to join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we will do the same thing all over again.
Only better.
Okay. What have we forgotten? There was something at the very beginning of this show, and it was... No, it's nothing I can't work with. It's okay.
Okay. Right. And if you need it, call me back and we'll do it.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thanks, Barris. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, friend.
The
We're going to remember that where you were was also the blessings of the law are out there.
Yes. Okay. So, excuse me. Let me get some water. Uh-oh, that was an outtake, wasn't it?
No, but that was.
You are cruel to me, Barris Bartlett. But I can take it. I'm a big boy.
You only hurt the ones you love. You know that, mate.
Sure. That in that light, I know you love me deeply. So, but as we were saying, also. I feel good about it. I feel good. Don't you wish you were recording?
Oh, but I am.
Uh-oh.
I'm just not recording on that particular recorder.
Oh.
And that was it.
I've suddenly fallen under the curse.
Well, certainly fell into the trap. The dastardly trap of the Bartlett monster. Okay, we'll close you and... Note to self, 1 minute, 1 hour 14 and something is where he does his na-na-na. I just love this. I really do. It's simple and it's fun.
Yeah.
You need a little old-time religion. You need a little churching up. A little Bible learning will keep your soul from burning. Yeah, you need a little churching up. I said a little Bible learning will keep your soul from burning. Yeah, you need a little churching. Churching up. Amen.